I'm going to take tea and take a sip of it and spit it into each and every one of your mouths. Oh, it'll burn me, but it'll burn you twice. Burn me once with tea, shame on me. Burn you twice in your own mouth, shame on everybody involved.
TBTM.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
Friday. Gotta get down on Friday.
You're singing that wrong.
How? I made it up.
They had been posting their stuff out on the internet, and apparently they'd been met with virtually nothing but ridicule.
Hey, Lloyd, do some delivery for the truck to the airport.
It's not great. It's fantastic. You totally undersold it. The pageantry, the costumes, wow.
I put my headphones on, and here we go. I'm so excited.
All right, hello, good morning, and welcome, everybody, to a Friday edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
You're still doing a podcast?
My name's Luke Burbank. I am your host.
I woke up in a good-ass mood today.
Coming to you from the Burbank Springs Broadcast Center, perched atop Alabama Hill, in Bellingham, Washington, the Bay City. I am wearing a different set of headphones right now. I'm actually using the ones that came with my iPhone because I was doing a little bit of ejercicio this morning and came right in here into the broadcast center, fired up the old microphone and computer, and realized I was still sweating profusely post-shower, and I didn't want to wear the normal headphones because they're kind of like almost like earmuffs that you would wear if you were cold. But now everything sounds weird in my head. I can hear myself talking in this room in a different way, and I don't like it, but I'm going to try to get through it here on episode 3188 in a collector series.
Let the fun begin.
On the subject of my little morning exercise, if you remember yesterday, I wasn't able to do that because I decided to eat about half a jar of the Duck branded hot peppers from Mexico. And I had the good sense to lay off that yesterday, but had the bad sense to lay on to copious amounts of vegan food truck food that I ordered from a place here in Bellingham called, wait for it, Sage Against the Machine. And, you know, no animals were harmed in the making of my dinner last night, but this morning as I was slowly making my way up Alabama Hill, was regretting having eaten a massive amount of plant-based food last night. Okay, that's enough about that. We don't have to do that again today. Let's just get right to what we're going to talk about on the top stories, including the town of Tanino, Washington, where they have started printing their own money on wood. It's a very cool story.
That cash could really get me out of a couple of jams.
We're going to talk about that. Also, Andrew has received, and it's possible me too, I haven't been in my work account, my work email account, but Andrew has received what we can only call a very, very unconvincing phishing attempt. We think from our own company.
Thank you for your willingness to practice good judgment.
Speaking of bad judgment, a bunch of people got fired from eBay, you know, the online commerce auction site.
I don't want to sell anything, buy anything, or process anything as a career.
It's a weird story where they just, like, a whole division of eBay decided to just try to eliminate this husband and wife who just had a website about things about eBay that weren't great. Anyway, we'll get into that too, time permitting. For all of you wondering, though, this is my co-bro, Andrew. We share no blood, but he's my life. He came here from Cleveland 23 years ago, legally, of course, and he lives now in the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. I am so proud of him, and co-hosting with him has been the best, most rewarding thing I have done in my life. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning. That was quite an introduction. What am I missing?
You are clearly not up to speed on the Nestor meme.
Oh, is this the Florida? Are we talking about the Florida,
yes,
congressman?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Out of context. I was having trouble piecing that all together. I was also kind of, I'll admit, I was also sort of half listening to you because I have a cat situation. Theo is outside the door crying his head off. I don't know why. I'm going to keep the theme music underneath us for as long as possible today. I'm going to like just keep looping it in order to mask Theo's crying because I can't take it and I don't want it sticking to the tape. So I hope
are you looking
okay
to be
that,
rehomed, man. Andrew? I mean, this is a good way to I pour my heart out. I talk about, you know, how close we are, and then all you can focus on is the cat is making noise.
I know, and it is true. That's why I was sort of half listening. I'm like, okay, he's getting to me, and I'm like, wow, he's going on for a while. What is he saying? What is he saying? And then I caught the very end of you saying that the role I play in your life, and so I was a little confused. So that was a little bit, I don't know if it was a little bit over my head, but also you did sort of catch me, you know, you kind of caught me slacking off at my job. And my job is not hard. My job has two parts to it. One is to listen, and the other is to react. And that's it. That's all I got to do. And I didn't listen, and I almost didn't react. So my apologies.
This is Nestor meme has been quite a delight in the last 24 hours. This Florida congressman tweeted out this picture of him and a young man who he apparently has a close, you know, friendship, mentorship, if you will, who was, I think, like the maybe related to an ex-girlfriend of his.
Brother of an ex-girlfriend, I thought. No.
Yeah. And I mean, great. It sounds like they have a close relationship, which seems awesome. But it just seemed kind of way out of the blue for him to tweet this out and that very kind of earnest statement about Nestor. I think Ken Jen may have won the competition. Our friend Ken Jennings on Twitter, there's a picture of a Cuban sandwich from Un Bien, right? The beloved sandwich joint in Seattle. For those wondering, this is Nestor, the Cuban sandwich I just ordered legally, of course, from Un Bien. We share no blood, but he is my life. And I have to be honest with you, looking at that sandwich, it's got me really reconsidering my vegetarian ways because it looks good.
Well, I'm just glad that Ken Jen finally won something. Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for
really
him.
Good point. Can we talk, please, about this email that came into your inbox right before showtime? It's really quite something. Can you explain the circumstances?
All right, let me just start from the beginning. So I got a note from a colleague at American Public Media. This came to my APM email account, and the subject line is "Need Temp Password." Nothing is capitalized there, just for whatever that's worth. "Need Temp Password." I'm like, that's interesting. Now, all right, okay. Obviously, I don't actually know this colleague. I've never heard of this person before, and APM is a very big place. Now, here's the actual content of the email. Quote, "I'm logged out of my computer right now. Can you supply me with a temporary login password? Thanks." And it has a full signature for this person, including a name and email address and phone number. But obviously, this is the IT department phishing us, right? They're trying to get a... But I don't even know how this is a phishing, because, like, what is the password? "I am logged out of my computer. Can you supply me with a temp login password?" Like, is there any chance that this is not phishing? Because, like, who would have his
like it's
password?
So poorly.
I mean, the question, I told you, so there isn't, I'm looking at the email address, I'm looking at the work phone number. I mean, do we call this phone number now on the show? And if so, I mean, we are literally in a week where people are very on edge at American Public Media. Obviously, it's been a tough week. If we're in any way wrong about this or, I mean, I don't know where this number is going to call, but I really don't want to F with somebody on a really tough week. On the other hand, if this is the IT department and that number just goes to the IT department, I kind of want to talk to the IT department. What do you
think? Are you going to place the call?
Are we definitely doing it?
Yeah, of course. Are you kidding me?
Okay.
100%. But the question is, do you want to place the call or do you want me to?
Why don't you dial up the number?
Now you're getting cold feet. I can hear you getting cold feet.
Well, one thing I just wanted to do is...
This was your idea. You texted me we should call that number on the show. Do you think that's the IT number? And I was like, heck yeah. And now okay. I can hear you starting to reconsider.
What I was checking was, I was just like, one thing I could do, and it's less fun for radio, is obviously I know what the IT department's phone number is. I have it saved on my phone because I call them like once a day, just be like, hey, hermanos. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to see, is this the help desk number? And it most certainly is not. This is a number I do not know.
Okay, so here we go. I have programmed the number in. I'm putting it on the speakerphone.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling. You reached...
What? Are you...
I don't think that... This might not have been phishing.
What?
I think... Do I need to beep everything we just said? Because now we've just totally... But maybe this is honestly just somebody who... This is a... Why did you have this idea, Luke?
Wait, but I... Okay, I mean, you're right. This is raising a lot of real real issues as far as if we can leave this in the show or not. But that's the weirdest thing. So... That person just answered. I mean, there was a voicemail that picked up on that line, identifying a person by the name that they had in the email. So either that wasn't phishing, or they have gone to great lengths
they have,
to really complete the scam.
I just don't think they would have done that. If any, to set up a fake, they would. If anything, they would have routed the number to the IT department or a special line that said, hey, if you're calling this number, this was a test or something along those lines. In fact, I'm going to Google this guy and see if he's on LinkedIn, because that's one thing I'll often find. We work with a lot of people we've never met before. And so often you will kind of, if you Google them, you'll find them on LinkedIn. You're like, oh, this is who my colleague is.
Now be careful, because if you have a LinkedIn account and you look at this person's LinkedIn account, I think it shows that you looked at it.
You know what the beauty of that is? I don't have a LinkedIn account, so okay, nobody will ever know. Let's see here. I'm not getting great SEO on it. Doesn't mean he doesn't exist, but I'm not getting a lot. But wow.
Is there somebody with a name like yours that works in the IT department, and this email that went to you was supposed to go to somebody else?
Well, here's who this was sent to. I'm really confused, Ron. Like, I don't know what to do with our show now. I don't know if this is real. This is actually, in a certain way, more interesting than it was before.
Yes.
But it's also,
I think,
I don't know, man.
Well, I think you might have to. Here's what I would vote for. You just have to go. This is a lot of work for you. I think you have to just go in and bleep the name.
I got to bleep the name, and I guess maybe just edit out part of the specifics we are going in about the name. And people,
I mean,
now
it's a
know
lot of work.
That
the problem is, I
it's okay
forward
that people,
promoted it.
What I well, I'm not going to kill the whole thing, but if you're listening to my voice right now, I need you to know that I had to go back in and delete some things in our conversation that we're referring back to right now that don't make sense to you. We went into some great detail about this employee's signature on the bottom of his email, and I have edited all that out. At least I better have.
This person,
because
in
we're
fact,
thinking
the reason,
this person is real.
The reason. One of the main things that raised our suspicion about if this was a phishing scam by our own IT department, which, I mean, happens a lot, actually. It's fairly common. IT departments will send out, phishing emails to their own employees to just sort of test people, to keep them on their toes. One of the main reasons that we suspected this was a fake was because of a specific thing in the person's auto signature, which now has had to be removed because it was too specific.
Now, here's one more thing we could do, although I feel like we're already probably created too many problems for ourselves. I could just call the IT department right now and say, hey, was this email from a phishing thing? Because I've done that before.
Now you're going to bleep that out again.
Did I just say his name again?
Yes.
Yeah, let's just move on. All right. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Are you ready? In three, two, one.
And I'm going to take tea and take a sip of it and spit it into each and every one of your mouths.
Okay. Anyway, edit name.
How was your
again.
Haircut?
What a weird way to start this show. Although I'm actually more intrigued now than I was. Boy, my haircut was great. I feel so much better with this amount of hair on my head. And boy, there was something about, I don't know if it was getting the haircut, if it was sliding into some more usual routines, if it was being in a part of the city where there was a lot going on. But where I got my haircut yesterday at Rudy's, it was a shop I hadn't been to before, but it's in a part of Capitol Hill. You may have heard of the neighborhood of Capitol Hill on the national news lately. This was nowhere near the autonomous zone or the what is CHOP?
They're calling it CHOP now.
Yeah, Capitol Hill
operation place.
Something protest, I thought. But anyway, by the way, and I also want to just say for everybody who's seeing this, whether you're watching it on Fox, which I don't think a lot of our listeners are, or even CNN, or listening to them talk about it on Slate's Political Gab Fest, this area in Seattle where the protesters have kind of taken over a few blocks, it is not downtown. Please stop saying that. Like when I knew that like Fox News was twisting the story, like that's very angry making, but it's expected and you can follow it. But like I was listening to Slate's Political Gab Fest yesterday and they keep on referring to like these folks taking over several blocks in downtown Seattle. And I'm just like, I trust these guys. These guys are good journalists. So like the story, when you're not here, it's just like it gets so – it's in a neighborhood. I mean, it's in a busy neighborhood, a very dense neighborhood in Seattle, but it's not downtown. Do you think I'm crazy to feel angry about that, Luke? I'm on a jag here.
No. I mean, I guess the implications could be sort of different in a way. Is that part of it? Like if they've taken over the downtown, that feels more somehow, quote-unquote, lawless than if it's in a neighborhood or something? I mean, is that part of it? Do you feel like that's kind of that's sort of slightly loaded as a term?
Maybe. And it's just – to me, it's like the brown M&Ms. It – to me – kind of shows a misunderstanding of the situation. And if you misunderstand that, what else are you misunderstanding about the situation? And it really did bum me out when I was hearing people refer to it, people who I trust in the national media referring to it as downtown, because maybe also part of it is actually Capitol Hill is way more like dense than downtown, or like on a weekend or what have you. Like there's a lot of people.
You mean
who
in terms
there.
Of population
and activity? You know, if you go into the heart of downtown on a Saturday afternoon, there are places where you'll get some tourism activity, but really Capitol Hill is a very vibrant neighborhood. But also probably a lot of the people who are participating in this might be from that neighborhood or around that neighborhood, and so it is sort of like it's not like they're coming from one neighborhood and taking over the downtown. I don't know. I'll get off of this now. But point is, it was a beautiful sunny day. I went to get a haircut yesterday in this neighborhood, but not near this protest site. And they had me wait outside. They did the temperature check with the gun that they point at your head, which is such a weird feeling. I've seen that in the news so many times. They did it to me twice. Has anybody done that to you at an establishment, Luke?
No, I haven't been anywhere where they're doing temperature checks yet.
It's a very weird feeling. It reminded me a bit like that back scanner at the airport we were talking about the other day. Now, the people who work at Rudy's are really sweet and nice people, and they say, do you mind if I do this? I'm like, of course not. But it is a strange feeling to have somebody just like point this gun-like thing at your head, like standing you know, just a few inches from you. But they were very careful. They did that. My barber was a great guy who we were talking about all of our favorite bars, and we go to all the same haunts here in North Seattle. He's an old soul. And after I was leaving that place, I was practically skipping down the street. It was a beautiful sunny day. It was the neighborhood felt kind of busy, like people were getting out. I felt like I had just had a conversation with somebody that I hadn't had in like 4 or 5 months. It was a real mood lifter.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to sound like I'm being slightly judgy, and I'm absolutely not. But the thing about seeing life start to come back is it feels so good. But everywhere you look, a lot of it, and I'm not saying you going to the shop under the very controlled environment you were in with the masks. I think that sounds like a pretty safe way to do it. But like, it's this weird thing where it feels amazing to, like, you know, I look out from this room and I can see this Lake Whatcom and I can see the beach and there's just people out there because it's a nice day. And it's like, that makes my heart happy to see that life is happening again, and it also makes me nervous.
Yeah, and well, the funny thing is I woke up this morning to find out that King County has been accepted to go to phase two. So yesterday was even just phase 1.5 plus, but they're continuing to move in this direction. So, you know, like I told you on the show recently, I think I'm going to keep doing things that I'm allowed to do, be very cautious in doing them, and trust the experts, because Washington State has been so reserved, in especially in King County. They've been so careful in opening things back up and approaching all of this stuff that I really trust the leadership here. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe somebody can argue otherwise, but I trust the leadership here, and I believe that if they start to feel like this is no longer recommended, then they will pull back and I will follow the new rules again. Because like, it's not like I'm living in a state where the leadership is just only focused on getting us out to the beaches and screw wearing masks because we're a bunch of Trumpers, you know? Like, I feel like if Inslee and the gang says, we've studied this, we think this is okay, give it a shot, please be careful, follow the rules, and we're going to keep an eye on this, then I'm gonna follow them.
I think you're right. I think that there's different ways to sort of start normal life up again, or something close to normal life. And I think the places where you're seeing the huge increases, it's places that are typically run, you know, Florida is one of them right now, and they're often run by Republican governors, and they're often, you see a lot of, you know, anecdotal footage, I guess you could say, that shows that people are just, like you said, not taking it seriously at all. Like, there's reopening, like what you did yesterday, which is, again, wearing a mask, waiting outside, all of the stuff, temperature check. And then there's just like, hey, let's all go hang out in an Applebee's and act like nothing is different. And I think when in those places, you see that, infections are going back up again because of that. So there's, I'm with you. I tend to maybe I have too much faith in Jay Inslee, but I tend to think that in the state of Washington, generally speaking, the leadership has been pretty smart about it. And so if they say something is they think safe to do under certain rules and regulations, I don't think there's anything morally wrong about taking them at their word on that.
No joke, though, you really made me want to go to an Applebee's right now. I'm even joking. Get one of those. Is that the place that has the bloom and onion? Or they have a big basket of fry stuff you can get and dip it into the sauce.
Yeah, Outback Steakhouse is known for their bloom and onion. Yeah. But you and I, remember when we hitchhiked through Missouri?
Oh, yeah.
And we stayed at the Munger Moss Motel. We walked to an Applebee's. Remember that town had one cab driver?
Yes.
And we just saw the guy who was like a dude in a regular car just driving around the town.
With one person in the back seat, I think, who
was
passenger, though, but like a navigator or something. It was a
just
weird
something
thing.
Like his lady friend. But yeah, we walked to that Applebee's, and that was one of the top 10 meals I've had in the last 5 years.
That was a top 10 Applebee's meal for me, and I've been there a lot. That was great. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you had a nice day yesterday. I'm glad that your haircut turned out okay. I weep for your beautiful locks that are now have been swept up from the floor of the Rudy's, but I'm glad you had a good day. We should go to a break actually, but I was going to at some point I do want to talk to you about Scrub Daddies. Mm-hmm. And Scrub Mommies, because, man, I'll tell you what, just yesterday, just in talking at the end of the show for 2 minutes about it with you, your knowledge of this topic is obviously vast. You have a whole cleaning podcast with Hannah Brooks Olson. I've been really let down by the Scrub family. Is that what you'd call the whole thing? Whatever the name of the company is that makes these dish sort of washing devices. But I also found something out from going to their website, Andrew, that I'm not sure if you knew or not. So maybe we'll talk about that when we come back from this quick break. This is TBTL. Don't go anywhere. All right, we're back, and we've actually got some
TBTL breaking news.
During the break, Andrew called the IT department because I had a growing suspicion even as we had sort of agreed that we were going to stop talking about what we thought was maybe this phishing email because we didn't want to get in trouble and or put one of our colleagues on blast, I was Googling the name, and I'm still not saying the name in case the final verdict on this is we can't say the person's name, but I was Googling them, and there was no digital footprint of their existence. There was no LinkedIn thing. There was no web reference at our company. And I was really thinking, this is not a real person, and they've just gone to the extra length of creating a fake outgoing message to just really up the verisimilitude of this thing.
Yes, and I don't know. I just felt like that voicemail that we heard, which maybe the listener didn't hear, or maybe an edited version
of. This is getting less complicated by the minute. This is going well.
It sounded too real. And so, I don't know. So what I did was I called the IT department. I'm like, all right, I'm not going to record this. I'll just call the IT department and say, hey, listen, was that a phishing email that went out today asking for a temp password? And the person I was talking to in the IT department is somebody that I know, somebody who helps me out with my computer stuff a lot, said, oh, yeah, well, there is somebody at the company with that name. And
name,
which we have bleeped all out if I've done my job correctly, is a pretty common – it's a pretty common name.
Yeah.
It's not an unusual name, which is one of the reasons why when I was Googling it before, I was having trouble, you know, kind of homing in on this particular person. And so – the IT person was really trying to drill down and like, he's like, well, where did the, what is the actual email address of this person? Does it look like a real, you know, American Public Media
address?
Oh, that's
a good question.
And I was like, yeah, it does. It doesn't have like, it's not like, you know, apm.gotcha.com or whatever it might be.
Why did I laugh over that?
And
that
so as I'm talking to this person, it's in the IT department, it seems like he's getting kind of concerned about it in a way like he really wants to help me out with this. And I keep saying, listen, I'm just curious. I thought this was just like a phishing thing. And I was actually going to tease you a little bit about your phishing. But I called the number and it sounded like a real person. He's like, let me investigate this. So now I'm a little bit worried that I may be getting somebody in trouble or calling attention to something that I shouldn't have called attention to. And listen to this. And I feel like, with all due respect to my beloved IT colleague over there, he should have mentioned this earlier in the conversation. He said, well, I was helping this individual with some password stuff this morning.
Oh, so, no. This is a very real person.
This is a very real person who accidentally sent that, I think, to a list. And I am one of the people on that list.
Oh,
and everybody else who received it probably just deleted it and let this poor son of a gun go on about his day. But now I've up-leveled it in the IT department, who are now investigating why this email went out, and I just got somebody in trouble.
I am so glad that we called the phone number and it began to dawn on us that this might be a real person. Because, Andrew, had we not called the number, we would have left everything in, and we would have just been roasting a colleague and their auto signature in a way that you would only do if you thought you were talking to a bot or a made-up person, and
oh,
it would be
God.
A real person. That would have been bad.
I am not going to rest well this evening. This is like one of the only times.
What are you
where
doing
like,
right now? I can hear that you're. Are you still communicating with IT?
No. I forwarded that to the IT person. I said, and I just kept saying, like, listen, this is not a big deal. Like, I'm not. This is not a problem. I was just kind of curious. And again, I was kind of. I was going to tease you about this because this is the same person who one time I got a phishing thing and I did call him like, this is you, right? And he's like, yeah. And so I kind of like teasing him about that. Of course, they have a lot going on right now with all the remote workers. So I also felt a little bit bad about that. But I feel kind of terrible now. I'm not doing anything, but no, I'm just looking out the window thinking about my future. What I want to do, though, is see – now, like, I just want to end the show so I can get editing and then get you – like, this is one of the only times in TBTL history where I feel like I need somebody to – you know, give a second set of ears to that segment to make sure that I'm not leaving anything in. I wonder if Phyllis wants to edit TVTL. Add that to her list of responsibilities.
Oh my God. What a wild adventure for us. Not so much for the listeners.
No, this has been terrible radio, I think. And also I got in my head that I backed into my hair cuttery story in a terrible way because half of my brain was still trying to figure out this whole situation.
Well, it is what it is. You know, Andrew, we do this show 5 days a week, and there's, you know, sometimes we hit it out of the park, and sometimes it's a swing and a miss, and sometimes it's something that will later be part of an HR suit. And this feels maybe like it's one of the – it's door number three. Why didn't we just talk about scrub mommies at the top like I'd planned? Yeah. Then we wouldn't be in this mess.
I know. So it sounds like you've done some more research because I saw your show sheet today about the scrub situation, the scrub family situation. Yeah. And I was like, oh, yeah, I think Luke is seriously mistaken about something. But it sounds like maybe you've done even more research now. So maybe I was mistaken. But go ahead. Set this
up. Well, there's this one. I think it's like – maybe it's like – I always get confused if it's – Renaissance Inn or Residence Inn. It's one of those ones that whenever I've stayed at those places, like when I've been traveling for work, they're the kind of hotel room that has a little kitchenette in them, which I always think is kind of cool, but I never actually make use of it because it's just like I'm usually eating out or whatever. But in this one particular chain, it is a Bonvoy property. So whichever one of those companies I just mentioned is part of the Hilton chain. That's what I'm talking about. Anyway, what I noticed was they must have had some kind of deal with this company that makes these like dish sponges called the Scrub Daddy and the Scrub Mommy. I hate saying those names so much. Mm-hmm. But
Who's your Scrub Daddy, and what does he do?
Yeah. So what I noticed is that in these hotel rooms or, you know, in the kitchenette next to the sink would be sealed still in plastic a mini version of this. So it's like I thought it was the Scrub Mommy. It was small. But one side of it is like kind of you know, coarse, and you could use it for getting, you know, grease out of a pan, and then the other side is soft. And I started basically I don't think I was stealing them because they're there for me to use. I just never had any dishes. I started putting them in my backpack and bringing them home whenever I would stay at this particular chain of hotels, because I love them, Andrew. They're like the best. They never get stinky. I think it has to do with – oh, and by the way, I should mention, it looks like a sun with a smiley face cut into it.
Mm-hmm.
And
like the Scrub Daddy. Like, I think most people are familiar with the Scrub Daddy, right? And like I was saying before, like a scrub – well, I don't want to get in your way. But yeah, it's basically like a Scrub Daddy with some physical differences.
Right. What I didn't realize, because I've never even had a scrub. Hey, let's go back to talking about our colleagues so I don't have to say scrub. I don't have to say I've never had a scrub daddy before. But I've never actually had the main, you know, the thing you mentioned. And so I didn't realize, Andrew, that it's all of the coarse material. That's it all the way through. I thought the difference between a scrub daddy and a scrub mommy was just size. Mm-mm. I thought that it was just the scrub daddy was bigger and the scrub mommy was smaller. But what I have been using this whole time, and now I'm out of them because I've stopped traveling, was some other version of this that's mini and is the perfect size for me and for the amount of dishes that get done in this house. And the second one or third one, whatever one that I had brought home from the hotel, finally gave up the ghost. It just got worn out. And so I've been going to the – when I go to the grocery store, I've been roaming the cleaning aisles. I've been on their website. I've been on Amazon. And so I bought some scrub mommies, and they showed up the other day from Amazon, and they're enormous, and they're thick. They're like too thick.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever this product was or whatever this version, it must be for like hotels only or something. Yep. I can't find it anywhere. It's like a scrub mommy mini.
It is the Scrub Mommy Mini, and it's hard to find online. It's not on their website. I am on something called AmericanHotel.com right now, and they're selling the Scrub Mommy Mini Mommy for $1.49. Yeah, so the difference is, and I think I already maybe kind of blew this by talking about it on the show yesterday, but like a Scrub Daddy is something that's about the size of, I don't know, a small pancake, right? About the size of your hand or something, kind of bigger than what you're describing, and it's coarse and scrubby all the way through. The Scrub Mommy is the same size, but it's soft on one side and a Scrub Daddy scrubber on the other side. And what you've been using is the Scrub Mommy Mini, which is soft on one side, rough on the other, and smaller, which I've never used before, but I like it. I like the it looks like it's also branded as the trial size Mini Scrub Mommy. This is what you want. Have you found it?
Yeah, but I'm laughing because since this is something they sell to hotels, the minimum quantity I can buy is 120 of them.
Oh, I'm just seeing that now. Yes. How much?
The question is, they're $1.50 a piece. Oof. Do I want to spend $200 mm-hmm. so that I never need to buy a sponge for the rest of my adult life. Like, I will, these sponges will follow me through various homes, cities, towns, wherever I go for the rest of my life. I will be carting this box of these trial size mini scrub mommies. But you're right, that's exactly, and that's how I got it, because it was in a hotel. And the ones you buy on the website, the typical so-called scrub mommy, it's too much. It's huge. It's probably, I mean, it's very, it's thick. It's hard to get into small spaces. It's not, I'm telling you, the trial size mini scrub mommy is the way to go. Now, here is the dazzling deep dive for you today, Andrew, that I only learned by going to the website for these things. You know how it's a smiley face?
Mm-hmm.
The idea is you're supposed to, if you're washing a spoon, you use the mouth of the smiley face to wash the spoon as if you were mm-hmm. feeding.
Sure.
The scrub mommy mm-hmm. or scrub daddy, let's say baby food, and it were a baby, you zoom, zoom, the airplane goes into the hangar, and then I'd actually, to be honest with you, seems like more work than is necessary to clean a spoon. I probably wouldn't do it, but it's an interesting design element.
Yes, I think we might have learned that also, like, on a Spotless, because that Spotless. All rings a bell, and I think we might have been taking a similar journey on the show at one point, because that spoon dazzling detail rings a bell to me, and I think that maybe we learned about it on the show. Now, I am on a website now, again, listen, nothing can be worse than what we've already done, but just so you know, I'm on a website that is now smileshop.scrubdaddy.com, which seems to be an official part of the Scrub Daddy website, and it's the Smile Shop, and they do have a mini mommy one count for $199. I think you can order this. Can I email this to you right now? And
please,
you will report back. And I'm sending you, by the
way,
I was
kind of excited.
An email with the subject line mini mommy. Just be ready for that.
I mean, the funny thing is, Andrew, and you know this knowing me, some part of me was intrigued by buying 150 of them.
Yeah, I know.
Like, or 120
I
of them.
I know.
Because it's just kind of like, you know, that's one of those little things that's just, it's a hassle to deal with. And, you know, one, you sort of run through one of them and it'd be nice to just go back to the pantry and grab another one off the shelf. And you know me, what I do when there's anything that I like, anything that's effective, I always want to get it in, like, you know, a couple of them or triplicate so that I never run out.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be the ultimate example of that. But you're right. I should just buy like three of them at $1.99. I should not buy a hotel's worth of them. And I just got the link. And thank you. I'm going to – again, none of today's show has been useful to the listener. But I've really enjoyed it. And I think that is what really matters.
I have too. I'm actually kind of interested in this mini mommy. Will you buy me one, Daddy?
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
Is that
Friday.
Too long for a show title?
Well,
Daddy, will you buy me a mini mommy?
It's too something for a show title. I don't know if it's too long or what. But do you remember? I feel like we went through a phase that went on for years. Maybe it was when I was in LA. I don't know what. But our Friday shows were almost mm-hmm. always punchy and weird. I'll bet you it was the LA mm-hmm. times, because I was working a lot and I was probably super slappy on Fridays. You were doing your usual plate spinning routine. And I remember Fridays, you could almost always count on us just being kind of
totally loopy.
Just totally loopy. The show was loose. And I think a lot of people said, hey, those are my favorite shows. I this feels a lot like that. I think that starting off by pranking a real coworker it put me in an interesting frame of mind.
That's what's fun about this show, though, is that we genuinely don't know what's going to happen. And again, none of the reveals or surprises are of any import to the world, but like we 100% went into today's show thinking IT tried to fish you and they did such a bad job of it, and it was like we could suss this out from a mile away, and like that was, I am shocked to learn that that's a real person and that we we were just so wrong about this. It's each day is an adventure on this show, I think. Let's talk about what's going on in Tenino, Washington, population 1,884. This was from an article in a kind of a newsletter email blast called The Hustle. And it talks about Tenino is printing its own currency during the pandemic. And it focuses on the mayor, a guy named Wayne Fournier, whose idea this was. Basically, what was happening was there are a lot of small businesses in Tenino that were really struggling, as is happening in a lot of places in America. And so the mayor decided to set aside $10,000 of city money and give it out to people, to low-income people who'd been hurt by the pandemic. But instead of just giving them federal dollars, he decided to print the money on thin sheets of wood designed exclusively for use in Tenino. And what did he use as the printing press? A 130-year-old newspaper printer from the local museum.
Wow. Do you know this town, this, by the way?
I mean, I've driven by. I've seen the exit on the freeway. I've always thought it was kind of a funny name for a town. So it's always like I think I've used Tenino as a kind of random Washington mention at times. But it's a bit south of Olympia, which is the state capital. It's sort of midway between Seattle and Portland would be a way to think about it. What's crazy is that or interesting is that this is not the first time that Tenino has done this. During the Great Depression, the city printed sets of wooden dollars using the exact same 1890 newspaper printer.
This sounds so New England, by the way. This just I cannot believe this is not New Hampshire.
I'm not sure if you've actually seen the money, Andrew, but it's actually pretty. It's pretty cool looking. Each note features a Latin inscription that means basically, we've got this handled. That's what they're printing on. That's what they're printing on these Tenino bucks, and basically, what this guy Fournier has done is ensured that this money is not being spent. He says he goes, Amazon doesn't take wood, Walmart doesn't take wood. Like the only places that will accept this money are the local shops in Tenino. And then what they can do is they can take the money and bring it into the city, and they get real money for the wood money. But it keeps the money in the city of Tenino, which is kind of genius.
Yeah, I really like it. Now, I do also wonder how much we'll see people kind of – when something like this happens, it becomes a collector's item. Not like I'm going to collect this and make tons of money and sell it on eBay down the line, but like everybody just wants one to keep, right? Like I'll admit something here that I shouldn't admit probably. There, a lot of people are seeing their local breweries or not brewery distilleries making hand sanitizer during the pandemic, shifting away from making vodka and turning their products into sanitizers instead. And, you know, there was one that was made by a local distillery here. And when I saw it in the store, Genevieve said, get one just as a collector's item, which I kind of felt bad doing because people need that stuff. But there was tons of it. Trust me, there was tons of it. And I think that Genevieve was like, we're living through. Actually, nobody's even mentioned this yet. I'll say it here. We're living through unprecedented times, and it'll be interesting to look back at these times. And now we have this little bottle of not homemade, but, this distillery-made emergency hand sanitizer. So my point is, obviously, I wonder how many people are just going to – for every five of these that go out, one will probably be put into into somebody's scrapbook, right?
Well, that's, I think, a good thing, though, because a couple of things. One – when the pandemic is over, this money will expire. And so if you – and these are like $25 notes, basically. The notes are each worth $25. The city is capping the amount each resident can accrue at 12 wooden notes, which is $300 per month. According to Fournier, each note features a Latin inscription that I've already mentioned. And it does come with a few restrictions. You can't buy cigarettes, lottery tickets, or alcohol with it. It's designed for essentials, food, gas, daycare. Almost every business in town accepts the wooden notes, and twice a month they submit their redemption requests. But like if you went down to Tenino, and actually it looks like I'm going to go down to Tenino and do a TV story about this, I'll probably buy one of these. But if I take this back to Bellingham and I put it up on my wall, it just means that the city of Tenino never has to pay out the $25.
Yeah, that's
actually
true.
It's better. I've taken it out of circulation. I've effectively paid $25 to have one of these wood you know, money things, and then Tenino still gets to keep the $25, which seems like kind of a good outcome for everybody.
That's true. That's good for the government's coffers, sure. And they can always print more. Because I was thinking like, oh, but then they're not getting into the hands of the people who need them, which are the business owners. But no, they'll print more if people are just buying them and saving them. So that's where the bottleneck is. So yeah, you're right. That's good. It's like kind of like bonds, right? Although I shouldn't have said that because I get very confused about how bonds work.
It's interesting, though, that this is definitely happened in other places too. Local currency, I assumed that would be illegal for some reason. Wouldn't you think that, like, you can't print your own money? But then, you know, not to get all, I don't know, college freshman who's just smoked some weed, but like, what even is money, man? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just an agreement basically. And I guess it isn't illegal for a town to say, hey, we're going to issue this thing and this is the value we're going to assign to it. But I was genuinely a little bit surprised. I would imagine that the Federal Reserve or the U.S. Mint or someone would say, hey, we kind of have the market cornered on that. But this is a thing that's happened actually all over the country. And in Tenino even, I mentioned that when the Great Depression happened, that was when the only bank in town closed up. A local newspaper publisher named Don Major pitched a solution. This is all happening in Tenino. With the bank gone, Tenino could invent its own currency. The officials agreed, and this guy Major printed a series of notes, 25 cents, $1, $5, $10, on rolled Sitka spruce. He and two local doctors agreed to back all of the currency themselves. And by January of 1933, the town had printed $6,500 worth of wooden money. And this apparently happened all over the country at that time because you had banks closing down. And so the people in these towns where there was no bank, a lot of places would just come up with their own currency.
That is interesting. And yeah, it does seem like the federal government would want to say, no, you can't do this. But that's just like a weird gut feeling I have. There isn't anything illegal about this. As long as you're not, I guess, in any way doing anything that comes close to counterfeiting or misrepresenting what the money is,
right,
or making it look too much like the federal dollars.
A town in Italy started, 550 people live there, started printing a local paper currency nicknamed the Ducati in late April to try to stimulate commerce. In the city of Santa Maria Jajalpa in Mexico, they've sent out $2,000 worth of local currency called Jajal Pesos to help poor people buy vegetables, chicken, and tortilla. The Brazilian city of Marisa is making extra money off of a digital local currency known as the Mumbuca, which are so omnipresent, even city officials receive their salaries in Mumbucas. Yeah. Businesses pay the local government a 2% fee to accept them. That money is funneled into no-interest loans that are offered out to members of the community. This also happened Bay Bucks in Traverse City, Michigan. There's something called Ithaca Hours. We've got listeners in Ithaca.
Mm-hmm.
Would you describe Ithaca, Andrew, as
gorgeous?
Pretty? I'd say gorgeous. They're doing some version of this in Ithaca. I don't know. I just think it's a cool idea. And I particularly in Tenino, this guy, Wayne Fournier, I don't know much about him, but he sounds like an interesting character. He's a younger guy. He sort of did, in this article, they mentioned that he first kind of became a part of the political scene there by putting up these sort of like Banksy-style murals about himself. Here, I'll just read directly out of this article. Fournier isn't your cookie-cutter politician. A firefighter since the age of 18, he first gained local notoriety for a series of Banksy-style guerrilla art projects that took a jab at local leaders. Soon after he revealed himself, he won a spot on the city council. 4 years later, he became Tenino's mayor.
Wow. I like that.
He just sounds like a cool dude.
Yeah, I'm just repeating myself, but this just feels like such a New Hampshire go-your-own-way kind of small town. I love that this is on the West Coast.
Yeah. Speaking of commerce, let me tell you about this weirdness that happened at eBay. I was reading this article in Vox about a bunch of like high-level eBay employees got fired for basically trying to dox this husband and wife couple. By the way, there's federal charges now around this. Feds charge 6 eBay employees with launching an aggressive cyberstalking campaign over articles that were critical of eBay. This was Sarah Morrison writing for Vox. Basically, I'll just read from an article. In one of the strangest corporate scandal cases in recent memory, six former eBay workers allegedly waged an aggressive cyber-stalking campaign against the two people behind an e-commerce newsletter that scrutinized the online auction site. The former workers are accused of harassing the victims on Twitter, shipping them live invertebrates, which I believe were spiders, and trying to install a GPS tracker on their car. The Department of Justice announced this week that they're charging six people who worked on eBay's security and global intelligence team with doing this. The three-part harassment scheme, as the DOJ described it, allegedly included sending the couple disturbing items, including a pig mask, cockroaches, spiders, fly larvae, and a book about surviving the death of a spouse. They also allegedly attempted to send a pig fetus, but the supplier of the pig fetus figured out something weird was going on and refused to fulfill the pig fetus order.
Which hero, right?
Yeah, right. Who knew that whoever is sending out pig fetuses has a pretty good system for making sure they're not getting delivered to the wrong place? That must be a fairly common request when you ship pig fetuses.
I guess so. I mean, it's easier to get a gun than a pig fetus. Like, this person should be – I wish there was more scrutiny. Like things don't add up here. Yeah. We're going to look into this. This is – can I just highlight something that you said? A newsletter. This is about somebody being critical about just
eBay.
How big of a company do you think eBay is? Like a multi-million-dollar, billion-dollar company? I don't know. And there's somebody with a newsletter that's a little critical of the company, and then these are high up people. These aren't just like a few people who are, you know, kind of low level employees. One of them was like the head of security, right? Or the head of security, I think, is getting off. There's one person who looks like might have had knowledge of it or been involved in some way who
but he already left,
charged. Oh, right. Yes. But there is like some very high level security people in this.
They also they sent disturbing Twitter messages to this couple, and then they listed the couple's Natick, Massachusetts home as a destination for swingers. So they basically put their address down like, hey, if you would like to come. For a good time, show up at this house. Sarah's writing of this article, she says, if you're wondering what the newsletter could have possibly said to engender such an extreme response from not one, not two, but at least six eBay workers, it was apparently just this newsletter that the eBay executives took exception to some of the newsletter's critical articles, as well as the anonymous comments underneath them. The newsletter covers several e-commerce companies besides eBay, including Amazon and Etsy. According to the DOJ, a 2019 post about a lawsuit involving the company prompted two unnamed executives who have not yet been charged to allegedly suggest that the newsletter's producers needed to be, quote, taken down. This is just such a view into how warped the human mind can be. Like, maybe this newsletter is the most popular eBay-related newsletter in America. Maybe it has hundreds of thousands of subscribers and could actually move the needle on eBay's business, but my guess is it's not. And, like, this is – people get their feelings hurt. My guess is a couple of executives saw this newsletter, got forwarded to them, they got butt hurt, and then they said, take them down. And then somebody else in the security division just went Rambo on it.
I do sort of know the feeling of when something – where you get so involved with something. I mean, obviously, I've never been involved with anything this big or dark, like I say. I mean, by the way, that book about the death of a spouse, that was not sent to somebody who had lost a spouse. That was sent to somebody who was still married.
It was like a threat, basically.
That's like a borderline death threat. I mean, that's like really scary, disturbing stuff. But I can't think of any examples off the top of my head, but I do sort of know that feeling of when you get so invested in something, especially when it's kind of like driven by a certain amount of pettiness and anger, and it kind of gets out of it gets out of control quickly. Have you found yourself in those situations before? Well, actually, speaking of, I did just get an email back from my friend at the IT department who just wanted to say I spoke with the employee in question.
The person.
See how I'm not using the name?
Good.
I spoke with the employee in question. And he sent that email in error to the wrong email address. I think he was trying to reach our department and sent it to the wrong email.
Oh, my God. I can't believe that was a real thing. That is wild. I have not, that I can remember personally, gone down that sort of rabbit hole. Although I can tell you this, Andrew, and now let me take it from a sort of weird business standpoint to a more personal level. I have been through divorces in my life. I've been through other sort of things like that where there's money on the line and relationships, you know. And you can get really crazy in those situations because you just start to feel like this other person is trying to destroy me financially or whatever, and that can be a bit of a rabbit hole. And I've found myself midway down that rabbit hole before, and it just ends up costing a lot of money and lawyers.
Yeah,
but
and emotional energy, right?
Right. Well, the thing I've always said was like, you know, like getting divorced is the intersection of hurt feelings and paperwork. Mm-hmm. It's just the worst. Mm-hmm. It's all the things that we all hate in the world coming together, and so it's a pretty fragile time for everybody. But in this eBay story, it's just crazy to me because it's like all these people have now lost their jobs. Everyone associated with it is going to be disgraced, and if they would have just let it lie, nobody would flip and know. Nobody cares. I mean, that's what happens, I guess, when people feel insulted or get their feelings hurt. I mean, this was such a non-story until they decided to try to destroy these people, and now. Also, it makes me really want to subscribe to this newsletter.
I know. I was going to say, we're missing the point here. The real point of this story is the power of the newsletter and how important newsletters are, which is a good time for me to remind everybody, actually, or to tell everybody, there will not be a TBTL newsletter this week for just various reasons. We're not sending one out. It's no big deal. Nothing's wrong. But we've had so many problems with our newsletter, sending it out, that you might think, oh, no, now my email address is broken or whatever, but we're not sending one out this week. But I do love the fact that now I know that with the newsletter, on the weeks that I do send them out, I'm wielding quite a bit of power. I should probably start using it, leveraging it more, right?
Absolutely. Who do I want to take on next? Can I mention this, Andrew? And you can cut it out if you want. But part of the reason that there's not going to be a newsletter today is because within our division of the company, folks are allowed to take the day off paid in honor of Juneteenth. And which I think is great. And so I wanted to, I guess, say happy Juneteenth to everyone. I, like many white people, am only recently really getting up to speed on the significance of Juneteenth. I mean, I had heard it, you know, spoken about at times, but I hadn't really investigated sort of what it was. Of course, it's sort of considered to be the final end of slavery because you basically had people in Texas who still had slaves. They didn't get the memo about the Civil War. And so, you know, this was the sort of last liberation of people who were being kept as slaves in this country. And it's interesting to me that this is not – maybe it's different now for younger people. This was not something that was taught to me in school. And it's funny. I mean, not to get all – I don't know what – up on my soapbox about anything. But it's like it's interesting that I learned the lore of Christopher Columbus so early. Who everything that we learn about Christopher Columbus later is this guy was a pretty bad person. But I knew nothing about Juneteenth, which is an extremely important moment in this country's history. And that there are so many holidays in this country that are dedicated to people who are probably questionable, and that Juneteenth has not been recognized as a holiday and is now, at least on an informal level, you know, companies are starting to offer a paid day off for Juneteenth. But I would be unsurprised, and I would be very happy to see it become a national holiday. I think it would be good for us to take a day, everyone, to just reflect on the fact that this is a country that was built on slavery.
Yeah, absolutely. And it did come to, and I guess, you know, on another holiday, I would have been able to work in advance to get the newsletter out. But it's something to be said that, you know, I think that had the uprisings not begun after George Floyd's death a couple of, well, has it been a month now? Then I don't think that we would be hearing so much about Juneteenth. It's interesting because we're talking about the black experience in America. And so and then, of course, well, let's not even get into the Trump side of things. It's just too upsetting. But in a certain way, like, I think companies and maybe even our own department are kind of realizing the importance of this kind of pretty late in the game. I'd never heard of Juneteenth until I was an adult as well, Luke, and we're not taught it in school. And it's kind of interesting to see how like just certain aspects of this are changing culturally kind of so quickly.
Yeah. I mean, you could say You know, I get very nervous sitting in my position of whiteness and privilege trying to make any kind of sweeping statements about what's going on or where we're going with this. But I really do feel like the conversation has changed, the tone of the conversation, the implications of talking about things. And I again, in my lifetime, I've never experienced anything like this. And there, we were talking about it last week. It's like the something is seemingly insignificant, but also very significant, like The Bachelor is going to be African-American. That's never happened before. The fact that people, I mean, again, hopefully there will be a federal holiday, but maybe kids, maybe my grandkids will grow up knowing my white grandkids, if they end up being white, will know what Juneteenth is. They won't be like 42 years old figuring it out, you know, or whatever age I was when I first heard the term. Like, that's going to be a different world for them in this way that's made up of a lot of small things, but hopefully those small things add up to a big thing, which is a slightly more just world and country.
Have you watched Dave Chappelle's YouTube video yet?
No, I haven't.
How you know it? About it, though, right? It's like a 20-minute, I mean, I guess you would kind of call it stand-up, but it's not stand-up, and it's not really funny, and it is amazing. It is emotional. I'm standing. Genevieve comes in the kitchen. I'm, like, standing in front of the sink. I've got it up on my phone, up on the windowsill. I'm doing dishes and just, like, kind of openly crying, and it's so angry-making and emotional and good. And Dave Chappelle, I think, is the perfect example of somebody who, like, you know, he has said other things before that I think are definitely inappropriate when it comes to the trans community and stuff like that. But I think he's the perfect example of, like, not everybody who we turn to in times like these has to be perfect on every single level, right? Like, what he has to say and the way he says it is incredibly strong, and I recommend people listen to it. And it's also interesting to watch somebody like him also have his own kind of opinions evolve as well. And I don't know, it's just it's amazingly good. It's called 8:46, and it's 20 minutes of your time. I feel like I will probably rewatch it again, maybe several times this weekend. It's just that powerful.
Oh, that's good to know. I think I had seen it mentioned, but for some reason, I assumed it was behind some kind of paywall, which would be like a weird thing to do when the message is about something as important as what we are going through as a country. Like, it'd be weird for it to be like Netflix premium content, mm-hmm. but I just sort of assumed it was on some platform I didn't have. And so to know that I can go to YouTube and watch it, I'll definitely do that this weekend as well. So a happy Juneteenth, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And there will be no newsletter, but there will be one next week. So look forward to that.
All right. I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
All right, we got to do some music for your weekend. And Andrew, I have to admit that in all of the chaos of today's show, of us almost accidentally outing a coworker,
or outing that coworker, depending on whether or not I edit this right,
it's going to be 3 years from now, and you're still going to wake up in a cold sweat thinking about this episode. This taps into, you know, I mean, if I had agreed to just start the show over, you would have just started the show over, right?
No, because I like the fact that it was very real. Like, say what you want about today's episode of the show. It's definitely messy at times, and I really, really want to protect this coworker. I don't know if you know, this is one of my favorite coworkers. So I want to make sure, I'm nervous about editing, and I want to really, because I even, as you pointed out, I said the person's name accidentally again, and I want to make sure that that didn't happen elsewhere in the show. And so I'm nervous about it, but no, I actually am, I'm actually glad that we're having the, I'm glad that we're leaving it in, because it's been a real honest to gosh evolution as we learn the situation.
That's just so funny to me. All right, but at, in the midst of all of this, I realized I didn't even pick a Music for Your Weekend song. So could you please favor us with a song while I quickly try to figure out what I want to recommend?
Sure. I have a little playlist going for this month, and I'll just pick a song off of this. This is from a musician who goes by the name Boy Pablo. I don't know much about Boy Pablo, including his real name, but I believe he's a Swedish musician. This is a very light, light, summery, poppy song about very young love. It's called Hey Girl. Okay.
Don't know what to
not Swedish, by the way. Norwegian.
Really?
I meant to say Norwegian.
Oh, well.
Boy Pablo is a Norwegian indie pop rock project led by Chilean-Norwegian singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist Nicholas Munoz. So, my apologies there.
Huh. I like this, though.
It's beautiful, right?
I've been on a whole... They're not from Norway either. Or, excuse me, they're not from Norway. But I've been on a whole Peter Bjorn and John kick.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like that album that has young folks on it, but that whole record is really good. Like, I used to listen to that all the time, I think, in my days in LA, and just put that bad boy on, was really enjoying it. In fact, I could almost recommend that, but instead I'm going to go to a song that I apparently have been listening to a lot lately. It's by Britney Spears. Andrew, you heard that, right?
Mm.
The song is How I Roll.
Oh, yeah, this is a huge one.
We've talked about this song probably on the air and definitely off the air. I feel like this is a legitimately very good song. It starts off kind of weird, but for those of you who maybe are dismissive of Britney Spears, which I don't know, I'm not going to try to argue the musical importance of her entire catalog, but I will tell you this song is a banger. Now, I'm also trying to remember if there's anything inappropriate in it.
I don't think so. And I can play it from this end. This whole album is really good, by the way. This is the Femme Fatale album. And I was not a Britney head, but like this has a bunch of... actually, this has a lot more tracks than I remember. But I know that there's like five songs off of this, I think, that I love.
Okay, so let's listen to a little Britney Spears, How I Roll.
Down in a fire, never end. Gonna light up in the sound of the speaker. We suck from tequila on the rocks till you make your body pop. Still the speaker. Burn it out, down in a fire, never end. Gonna light up in the sound of the speaker. Show your new suck from tequila on the rocks till you make your body pop. Still the speaker.
I wanna go
downtown where my posse's at.
You wanna ruin the tower room. I wanna go.
Anything when I hear that bass,
I'm gonna do
nothing if you wanna taste.
You better move the tower room.
Bum 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 da da dee dum bum bum ba bum 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 da da dee dum bum bum ba bum 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 da da dee dum.
How is this not like more popular than Hit Me Baby One More Time. Although, you know, Hit Me Baby One More Time is actually a pretty solid song.
That's
too,
a good song too. Yeah, maybe I thought this was a huge song, but maybe it was just huge in our friend group. I remember this album being like really highly regarded because this came after all of her all of her problems and the press following her around, the paparazzi almost trying to will her to do something incredibly dangerous. Like, I am not joking. I've said it before. Like, I am so glad that she survived that time and what people were calling basically Britney Death Watch. She was going through a mental break and the press was harassing her. And then she comes out in, I guess, 2011, according to this, with this record that's just like critically good. Like, you know what I mean? Not just popular on the charts, but like really good.
I wonder who produced it. I bet you she teamed up with some genius producer. Not that Britney Spears, can't create her own music, but a lot of times that'll happen to an artist, right? It's just their collaboration with a particular producer will create a bunch of good music.
Mm-hmm. I see that Will.i.am is on one track here, so I bet you he produced that one. But anyway.
Our listener suggestion comes from listener Alicia, who says, "Hey there, I want to recommend Rescue by Alicia Bria as music for your weekend." It's B-R-I-L-L-A. Maybe it's Brilla. Alicia is a local to me artist and is well known in my community for her activism. The song is from 2014. It has great island vibes. Funny part is Alicia's from Waterloo, Ontario, which is fairly far from the islands. This has great island vibes, so it's a staple in my summer music playlist. Thanks, signed Alicia from Waterloo, Ontario. Did I say Ontario or Iowa?
You said Ontario.
Okay, good. Because being from down here, if I hear Waterloo, I tend to go to Iowa. That's another place that we had to stop over on our hitchhiking trip. We stayed a night in Waterloo, and then it torrentially rained, like dangerous thunderstorms the next day.
That was our very first, that's the very first person who picked us up, dropped us off, because we were like, what, like, right. Were we like 10 miles outside of Waterloo? Like, we got real close, but not quite, 10, 20 miles?
That gal who, the high schooler, and we were like, thank you for the ride, never do this again.
Exactly, right.
Yeah. So that's what we're going to play from listener Alicia in Waterloo, Ontario. It's a song by Alicia. I'm going to go with Bria, Andrew. I'm just going to do it. I can't ever look at a last name like Brilla without being tempted to tell the story of the guy Jose Padilla, who was an accused terrorist post 9/11. And I was working at the NPR newscast division. And his name is spelled, P-A-D-I-L-L-A, and we were calling him Jose Padilla, which would be the traditional, I think, pronunciation. And his family reached out to NPR and said, "We say Padilla."
Oh, really?
So we just had to say Padilla and then just wait for the emails to roll in.
and roll in they did?
Oh, you bet. I mean, I actually wasn't at the receiving end of them, but it was just there's nothing worse than going on the air and saying something that is accurate to the family, because I guess they get to choose how their name is pronounced, but in a way that's really not typical, and then just have to kind of just brace yourself for everyone being like, it's Padilla. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I know, but they're doing Padilla for some reason. Padilla. Let's call the whole thing off. Show title? Probably not. Daddy, Will You Buy Me a Mini Mommy, I think is a pretty good.
I guess that's all we have, so it's going to have to be that. The problem is it's the least problematic part of today's show, which that's the...
Oh, my God. I cannot wait. I cannot wait for this show to hit the airwaves. It's going to be so weird. All right. So let's – do you have that song down there?
Yeah, I got it right here.
All right. Here comes some Alicia Bria. By way of a listener, Alicia. Thanks, Alicia, for the recommendation. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in this week. Thanks for being part of the show. We really appreciate y'all. We couldn't be here without you. That's a true fact. Enjoy your weekend. Stay safe. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to you all.
When your shoulders are heavy, when it looks like there's a break in the levee, I'll be right around the corner. Hey, if your worry is a woman, then you'd better warn her. Now when your little boat is sinking, rowing all night long, you lay your way thinking, I will paddle through the ocean.
power out,